Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Movie Minute Men podcast, episode 22, where we're going to be talking about Home Alone from 1990. And my name's Andrew Augustine.
My name is Wesley, and this time it's not Elf.
It's not Elf. We did Elf last year. If you want to go listen to that, go do it. After you listen to this episode, I believe we were pretty gung-ho on that episode, because who's not gung-ho about Elf, to be perfectly honest?
Will Ferrell is the best.
I wouldn't say the best, but he's pretty good. He's pretty good. I would put Macaulay Culkin ahead of him in Christmas characters, but that's you know, neither here nor there.
That's a ranking for another time.
It is. Maybe we should do an entire ranking episode where we just rank different characters or different categories. Yeah. We're here to talk about Home Alone from 1990s. You guys voted and decided to do this one by a resounding margin.
Yes.
I believe. And
it was crazy.
The other three that were up there were The Santa Claus, were White Christmas? Yes. And The Christmas Chronicles.
I'm just saying, like, you guys disappointed me because I wanted The Christmas Chronicles. I almost said it in my posts on my social media, be like, hey, vote for The Christmas Chronicles because I want a bad Christmas, not a bad Christmas movie, but a cheesy Christmas movie to review, you know? So, like, I don't know. I found a lot of enjoyment when I watched that movie 2 years ago with my brothers and my dad. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a movie that does not need to be on every year rotation.
Yes.
But it's an okay movie.
That prison scene runs in my mind.
When he's having a bad day, he looks it up on YouTube and just he's got to watch it, you know.
Definitely. But it was very surprising how this was chosen, though. Unanimously, like, literally, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was a pretty resounding "We want Home Alone," and so we're gonna do Home Alone.
Yeah.
A little disclaimer: if you guys are fans of the podcast and you missed our last episode, "Pursuit of Happiness," go listen to it because the format has changed a little bit for these fan choice episodes. Yeah,
I know. That's crazy.
It has. It is crazy. But we struggled the last few episodes, like Kung Fu Panda and Pirates of the Caribbean, to find a good synopsis of the podcast. And Wesley has a life. I, too, have a life. And it's hard to sit down and write our own synopsis. So we have decided to cut back a little bit on these fan choice episodes. You will still get a beat-by-beat rewatch in the MCU rewatch when we get back to that. At the beginning of the new year, but that's how we're doing these fan choice episodes now. So we apologize if you are mad about it, but it's just how it's got to be because I am tired of trying to busy lives, and I'm tired of going to these sketchy websites and having my data stolen, trying to find these rundowns. So
I'm BD not cutting it now. Literally. Come on.
IMDb will have like five letters on a movie. It's just like Kevin. That was the synopsis for this episode. It was just Kevin. Okay. But of course, we still have to start with our memories on these films. And Wesley, take it away. It's been over a month since we last recorded, so hopefully you're not too rusty. But
I know. Yeah, it's gonna be a crazy episode, guys. It's gonna be crazy. But
we are a little rusty.
Could be. for this movie, unlike the last one for The Pursuit of Happiness, I have seen this movie, so you know, before watching it. So, but
if you hadn't, I would be a little worried. Sorry, if you hadn't seen this movie before, I'd be a little worried.
I don't know. Yeah, I would be living under a rock, definitely. So,
yes.
But I don't exactly remember when I first watched this, but it has been on the rotation on my family's Christmas films in the last several years. Honestly, a lot of my memories watching Christmas movies was on ABC's 25 Days of Christmas cable TV channel. This is very nostalgic for me because almost every year we had cable TV. My dad would print out a schedule for the month and we would cross off times to watch programs and Christmas classics. I didn't mention it this last year, but for about the first 7 years of my of living in the current house I'm living in, we had cable TV. And my family has lived in the current house for like 17 years. But somehow we got the cable for free. I don't know exactly how. I think the previous owners didn't cut off their cable, like, I don't know, thing, and I'm not sure. And so we had it for the 7 years somehow. But my room is the very room that was our family room back in the day. We had a huge Panasonic TV in the corner of the room I am currently sitting in, and a lot of memories are held in this room for me. Including watching this film probably for the first time. I don't remember our family having a copy of the film, but I do have memories of watching it here. I have since bought a combo Blu-ray with both the two original movies. This film just articulates an imaginative mind of a child. We have all these ideas and wishes, and this kid, Kevin McAllister, got to live the dream for a few days, and we even got a few good lessons throughout here. But that's all I'm going to say for now.
Nice. Yeah. So, like Wesley, this movie has been in constant rotation in my house around the Christmas time. We watch it at least once a year. And I like you, Wesley, I don't remember when we first started watching it. It's just kind of always, been there. It's like, I mean, this movie came out before my parents were even married. So like, they may have watched it before I was born, but I don't know. So it's always been there. It's one of my, well, not to spoil too much, but it's one of my favorite Christmas movies, which I have a lot. So anyway, but yeah, I last watched it with my youth group. I planned a movie night, and this was the one that got chosen, so we watched it. And then it got chosen for the podcast, and I was like, well, you know what? It's perfect. It worked out perfectly. And so I'm very excited to talk about it with you. This movie is, one of the greatest Christmas movies, and they've tried to remake it multiple times, and well, maybe not remake it, but they've tried to add on to it
You see the
multiple times.
last one? Did you
And
see last
I
year
started it, and I was like, the
or
Disney Plus one? I was just like, no.
Yeah,
No, I'm done.
that was
No.
hilarious. That was
I did not. I could not watch
it
it. I
wasn't
could not get
good. It
into it.
wasn't good. It was not good at all.
I could tell from about the first 10 minutes. I was
Yeah,
just like,
yeah.
this is going to be a tough ride. So I just turned it off.
It was so bad.
Yeah. I could tell. So our initial thoughts on this movie after rewatching it for probably the 100th time for both of us.
I don't know. There's a lot of nostalgic feelings when you watch this movie. I don't know. I feel I
Yeah.
at least for me. But it's just like it has that small town vibe too, you know? I even mentioned this. I'm
It
gonna probably
does.
mention this throughout the another time in the podcast, but at least the setting of the movie, you know? And it's in Illinois too, the literal
Yeah.
place they filmed. So crazy.
You can actually, I believe you can actually go like drive by the actual. Is that one of your facts? Sorry. But you can like drive by the
I was
house
gonna
that
mention it, but
they used.
they were doing, I saw a video, like they were doing like tours and stuff like that. Like the people who were owned
Really?
it, you know? So like
Yeah.
you could like walk in and all that. But I try to look
I
up
mean,
if like,
that's.
you know, I try to look up if they, you know, if you could do a tour and all that, but nothing showed up for me. I don't
Man,
know.
that's pretty lucrative though, because
I literally
people are
saw
gonna
like a
wanna.
YouTube video of like someone taking a tour too, like a few years ago. So I don't know.
So it should be out there. Maybe they shut it
Yeah.
down for Christmas time, which would be ridiculous
Yeah.
if they did.
It would
But
probably Yeah, no, I know. I saw like a bunch of pictures of people like taking pictures like of each other like at the gate of the house. I don't know,
We're at the
on the
McAllister house.
articles.
Take a selfie. But yeah, what's funny though, you mentioned it's got a small town feel to it, but it's like they're in Chicago. Like that's not a small town, but it definitely feels very small town-esque and very homey to watch it, you know? It which is again odd.
It is quite odd.
But
Unlike the second one, where it's like in New York City, but you know, that
I
has a
mean, you
different
see
feeling to
Trump, so
it.
okay.
Yeah.
I know I made fun of the sequels, but that one is actually pretty not bad. Like that one is funny. That one I will give props to Lost in New York. But
That one,
when
I watched that last year. Last year, in the first time, like 3 years since I saw, like, I don't know. It was like 3 years since the last time I viewed it last year, and I died laughing, like
Oh yeah.
literally. It was insane.
Yeah.
It
We may have to do that one next year because I mean we do the
was,
first one this year.
yeah.
It's only
Yeah, I
natural
don't
to do the
know.
second one.
Maybe. Yeah.
But yeah, but the when Macaulay Culkin stopped doing them, it was downhill.
Yep.
But all right, Wesley, do you have behind the scenes facts for us here? Production facts.
Yes, production. Okay, yeah. So writer and producer John Hughes conceived Home Alone while preparing to go on vacation. He said, "I was going away on vacation and making a list of everything I didn't want to forget. I thought, well, I'd better not forget my kids. Then I thought, what if I left my 10-year-old son at home? What would I do? What would he do? Not I. What would he do?" Hughes wrote 8 pages of notes that developed into the screenplay, imagining that children are naturally most scared of robbers. This aspect works into the plot of the film. Home Alone was initially set to be financed and distributed by Warner Brothers. Hughes promised that he could make the movie for less than 10 million, considerably less than most feature film productions budgets of that era. Concerned that the film might exceed that amount, Hughes met secretly with 20th Century Fox before production to see if they would fund the project if Warner proved inflexible. This eventually resulted in a switch to Fox after production began, but the final budget grew to 18 million. Hughes turned to Chris Columbus to direct. Hughes gave him the script for to him, and he found it funny and liked the Christmas theme. Columbus did an uncredited rewrite of the script. Among his contributions was the character of Old Man Marley, which he created to give the story a more serious layer, as well as a more emotional, happier ending. Hughes suggested to Columbus that they cast Macaulay Culkin as Kevin because of his experience while shooting Uncle Buck. Columbus met with 200 other actors for the part, as he felt it was his directorial responsibility. Columbus finally met with Culkin and agreed he was the right choice. Columbus initially hoped to have Bruce Broughton score the film, and early posters listed him as the composer. However, Broughton was busy with The Rescuers Down Under, the Disney film, and he had to cancel at last minute. Columbus was later able to get in touch with Steven Spielberg, who helped him contact John Williams to produce the final score. Traditional Christmas songs such as "O Holy Night" and "Carol of the Bells" are featured prominently in the film, as well as the film's theme song, "Somewhere in My Memory." And upon the release, the movie was an amazing hit with audiences. It has an 80% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and it went on to make $476 million worldwide, with $285 million of that coming from North America.
Nice. That's So which one do you think ultimately did better? Rescuers Down Under or Home Alone? That's the question that needs to be asked
Well,
here.
yeah, that is the
How
question.
much
I've seen both movies, in my Disney rewatch, watching that film, last spring, I think it was, for the first time. And I don't know, that was a decent film. I don't really remember the music, but you know, it was a decent film, but I don't
See?
remember the music,
See?
so.
I think Home Alone did better with John Williams than they would have done with the other guy. I
Well, yeah,
don't even remember
definitely.
the name. The
And I saw so many undertones in his, man, he just scores the film
Yeah.
so well. Ah.
And unlike how I felt with Indiana Jones, how it sounded so much like Star Wars, I don't feel a Star Wars vibe to Home Alone,
Okay, buddy. Indiana
which
Jones is kind of is it's kind of different. It's kind of different.
is it though? Go listen to it. Listen to it.
I've listened to it for the past 10 years.
You're biased. I'm saying come at it from a new perspective. It sounds like Star Wars. Anyway,
He
we
was
don't. This isn't a. This isn't.
scoring both at the same time, so you know.
See? It can slip in. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it sounded like Star Wars. And Home Alone
Okay,
did not.
okay.
So neither was
Well,
Jaws. So
on to I haven't seen Jaws. Well, I know the soundtrack, of course. You know, it's classic.
yes.
But
No, I haven't
I
seen
have
Jaws
not
either.
seen I haven't seen all of Jaws yet. I've seen like scenes, but
You'll get
I
there,
saw like
I'm sure.
yeah. But yeah, this score here. Yeah.
Is pretty good, but we'll get into that when we get
Yeah,
into the
we will get
episodes.
into.
But yeah, so let's, without further ado, let's get into 1990s Christmas classic Home Alone. All right, so Home Alone was released in 1990 and directed, as Wesley said, by Chris Columbus and written by John Hughes, and apparently an uncredited rewrite by Chris Columbus. Music by John Williams, and stars the talents of Macaulay Culkin as Kevin McAllister, Joe Pesci as Harry, Catherine O'Hara as Kate McAllister, Daniel Stern as Marv, John Hurd as Peter McAllister, Roberts Blossom as Old Man Marley, and John Candy as the Polka King of the Midwest, Gus Polinski, also starring, well, not starring, but also, lightly featuring Devin Rattray, Gary Bamin, Larry Hankin, and Kieran Culkin as Fuller,
Yeah,
the
I was gonna mention that.
cousin
Like,
that
I
lights the
didn't know
bed.
that. Yeah.
You didn't know
Is
that?
that his I didn't know is that a his
That's
brother? Yeah.
his brother, yeah,
Sorry,
his younger
yeah.
brother, yeah.
I didn't know that. So
Who? Yeah. He arguably, well, probably not as, Macaulay Culkin could have done this movie and probably, retired, but Kieran Culkin was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. But yeah, he was in Succession for
that was
5 years, I think. A pretty big hit TV show from,
Yeah, that is a pretty
I've
big
never
show.
watched it,
Yeah, me either. There was
but
a
I
big
know.
season that came out like recently, I think, that everybody
Yeah.
was lolling over. But
Yeah. But
I don't even
yes,
know
he was in that.
the show,
Me
so.
neither.
One interesting thing to note here, Macaulay Culkin actually just got his like Walk of Fame thingy this past
Yeah.
week. So,
Yes, he
you
did.
know, kind of
That's
fits the vibe for the podcast. So.
ultimately why we're doing this podcast episode, is because of
Yeah,
Macaulay
literally.
Culkin's
Yeah.
Not because it's Christmas time or anything, but because Macaulay Culkin got his star on the Walk of Fame.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I saw that, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because yeah, Catherine O'Hara did the speech before it too.
Yeah,
So
she did.
but let's get into the episode. Ultimately, like we said, we're not going beat by beat again. But Wesley, what did ultimately like? Because we've seen this movie thousands of times. Like, there's no secret about that. But coming at it from more of a analytical, not an analytical, yeah, an analytical mind of like dissecting it. Like, is this actually a really good plot, or is it just nostalgia, you know, pushing it? What did we actually think of the plot of Home Alone?
You could say it was very simple. It's easy to follow.
Yes.
Not that complex, you know. Not a lot of moving parts.
Not too many plot twists, you know.
Yes. But I think what save you got you, well we got the three well two plot yeah two plot lines, I guess. With a Kevin at home and then the family away. Because, oh no, if you haven't seen the movie, Kevin was left home alone. Wow, crazy. But yeah, I of course Kevin gets more of the screen time. He's the one home alone. But it serves him right because every time he's on screen, you know, it's always fascinating. And the house is insane too. The house is so big. And like if it was like a smaller house too, like I don't know if all near the end, the climax, you know, the climax, don't know how that would have worked out, but you know, the climax is just crazy with all of the booby traps. So I don't know. As a younger kid, like when I watched it when I was younger, like of course I loved the end with all of the booby traps more than anything else. But like now, I'm like, I kind of like the middle of the film more. I don't know. You
Yeah.
know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. So
Yeah. I
that's what I
mean,
gotta say. I don't know.
yeah, I agree. I agree with a lot of it. I agree that the plot is very simple, and you know, it's like we got these two stories, the mom trying to get back, Kevin at home, you know.
Yeah.
But like you said, kids and like that ending part, because it's, you know, it's
Yes.
the funny part. I was when I told you I was watching with my youth group, and my students were literally like, they stopped, you know, halfway through watching the movie to play a game, and they're like, just tell us when, you know, the booby traps come, and we'll come back and watch. I was like,
Yeah.
okay. And these are, you know, high schoolers and middle schoolers, and I was like, I agree with you. The middle part, especially the part where Macaulay Culkin, well, okay, Kevin and old man Marley are in the church and
Yes.
they're talking. That is one of my favorite scenes of the movie. Like, the ending, of course, iconic, awesome, is the best part of the movie.
Yes. Yeah.
But
But
as you're growing and you're getting older and you're experiencing more life, that middle part where Kevin's learning how to live alone and then regretting his decision, going to the church, talking to the old man, eating the mac and cheese, thanking God for it, and the person who sold it on sale. I feel that. Like, that, the build up to it is the best part. And the church scene is
immaculate.
exquisite. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
wonder if that
So
church is in Illinois or not. That would be a cool church
I'm sh
to live
well, like we've talked about on previous episodes, we are a podcast that does research
We
on the
are.
podcast while recording. Church
Yes, we
from
are.
Home Alone.
But yeah, like you were saying, yeah, like it's there's something, this is like that's something about a good movie. Like there's something for everyone, you know, there's something for everyone. The older audience might like something specific in this movie, and like in the middle like us, or and like of course the kids, they're all gonna love Kevin and sympathize with him and his struggles through
Yep.
childhood. But like even though like Marley is an old man, like you know, still like you can relate to the guy, you know? So
Yes, you can. So, the church, and I agree with everything you're saying. The church is Grace Episcopal Church in Oak Park, Illinois.
Oak Park, that's not that far away, I don't think. Is it?
I don't think not from I don't think from you, no.
2 hours and 45 minutes away from me.
Not too bad.
Interesting.
Not too bad. Now people can find out exactly where you are by that time and just not.
Look up our oak, that church and try
Yep.
every direction,
Give me
every
Google
direction.
Maps. What's an hour, 2 hours and 45 minutes away
If it's
from
away
Oak
from
Park, Gracie Episcopal Church in Oak Park, Illinois?
Well, I looked
But
up
yeah,
Oak
that's the
Park.
church.
I just looked up Oak
Oh, okay.
Park.
You
I
looked
didn't
up
look
the
up the
city, not the
church.
church.
So
Okay. That's the church. Yeah.
nice.
But
Well,
yeah, like you said, like it, there's stuff for everyone in this film. And there are some jokes that, you know, parents will get. There's some jokes that kids will laugh at. You know, like it's a very well put together movie in my opinion. And yours apparently too.
yeah, like even the joke throughout the film, it's a constant thing. Like the statue, the simple thing like
Yep.
that, the statue in the front of the lawn, like crazy,
Yeah.
like just all the cuts to the statue, you know, getting hit
Yep.
by
Yep.
the pizza
Kids will
guy.
laugh
And
because it keeps getting hit, and adults will laugh because that's exactly how teenagers drive. It's like,
yeah,
you
and
know.
even it's the service, the airplane service or whatever, they hit it too. So,
Yep.
you know,
Yep.
it's yeah.
Yeah.
This running
Not
joke,
just the
that's
pizza kid.
one of the many running jokes in the movie, but
Yeah. Yeah.
so
Yeah. So, any plot points that, well, maybe not plot points, but parts of the movie that didn't end up getting paid off or were unnecessary, in your opinion, that, you know, like maybe it was something that was just like, well, that was really unnecessary. Or did you feel like everything kind of flowed, everything had a point? And I know before you recorded, you said, we started recording, you said you actually have a least favorite scene. So maybe don't spoil it. But
yeah.
yeah.
Well, there's one interesting thing that I found interesting. This might not be like paid off or anything like that, but the cashier in the store, not the older lady, not the first time he goes to like shop, you know, downtown or whatever, but the
Not the
second time,
toothbrush.
yes,
Yeah.
not the toothbrush, not the toothbrush. That it's what is it like? Is it
Approved by the American Dental
approved,
Association.
that not that time, but when he actually goes to the grocery store, the cashier looked like one of the kids for some reason. I don't know if she was like, I was gonna look in the cast, but it looks like the sister or one of the cousins or something.
Really?
Yes, I was like, what? This does not
But
make sense,
she,
you know,
yeah, the
it's
cashier does look very like
I didn't know if she was the same actor or like
yeah, I don't think so,
I don't, yeah.
but that
She just had
she
like the
does look
same
very familiar.
hairstyle. She had like the same hairstyle, and I'm not sure.
Tracy Connor.
I wanted to see more of that sketchy Santa though, you know. Should have had
It,
him.
yeah, it's Sketchy Santa was a bit terrifying, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah,
He always,
need some more of
he's,
those Tic Tacs.
you never take candy from a stranger,
Yeah, definitely.
especially Santa, you know, like
Hey, well,
just
we don't
don't
know if
do it.
Kevin ate it or not because he was gonna have some mac and cheese when he got home, so you know.
It's true. He may not have eaten the, because like Santa said, don't let us spoil your dinner. So maybe he didn't, you know?
Yeah. But yes, there was two specific parts other than that, other than the drugstore lady, not drugstore, that's the other person. That's the old lady. That's earlier in the film. What am I talking about? So it's like in the first 15 minutes of the film. I wish we got like a scene like around when like Kevin figures out he's like home alone, and like right before Mrs. McAllister like figures out they left him, of Harry and Marv. Now we know, of course, like Harry came in, you know, and was checking out the place because he was the police officer. I did not know
Yes.
that for that's something I was gonna mention. I didn't I For the longest time when I was watching this movie, I did not know that was him.
No way.
I
Wesley.
know. I was so bad. I was so gullible, you know? That was L on my part. Wow.
Wow.
That was,
That's
yeah, I know. That's something.
funny.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, that's, it's supposed to be a bit,
Yeah. Suspicious, but
you
like
know.
he has a few hints in there, a few dialogue hints, you know,
Yeah.
in his dialogue when he's
Especially
there.
at the end when he goes, "You're in good hands."
Yeah.
That's probably the sketchiest part.
Even in that scene, oh, man, that was a crazy scene, of course, with all the kids going around and like the kid throwing down the duffel bag and saying bombs
Yep.
away. That was hilarious. Like literally real life. Literally, if you like ever grew up in a fam like grew up with in a big family like packing for a vacation or you know.
Yes. Everyone's just running around
Yeah.
doing whatever the heck they
But
can or want to.
yeah. But yeah, like I said, I would have liked another, at least another scene of like Harry and Marv or something, you know.
Yeah.
I because there was like a period of time we didn't know, like, okay, like Kevin's home alone and they're cutting back to the airplane for a little bit and then they're back to Kevin hanging out eating ice cream or I don't know, you know, I don't know. But we don't see
Yeah.
Harry and Marv for just a little bit of time, but then we do, you know, after we hear after Mrs. McAllister and all that. But
Yeah.
I wish we got them a little earlier, I guess. That's what it
Yeah, no,
was.
that makes perfect sense because they do just kind of, because what's the first one they when they show, like, they show him, I think, isn't it when he's counting down the house lights?
Yes.
Isn't that the first?
Yeah.
Yeah, like
Yeah.
you could have easily had a scene. I don't know what it would be about, but
Yeah.
introducing Marv and Harry as villains, as opposed to just jumping to that. That does feel.
Maybe it's like a newscast or something, you know? I don't know. Like,
It could be, yeah.
what if one of the, what if like, what if it's the part when like the mother and the dad are packing and Kevin walks in and you can see in like the corner or something, that corner where the camera is angled. Where you see the Kevin talking to his mom and all that, and you see a TV or something, and the newscast is playing like the Wet Bandits or I don't know, like you know something about the Wet Bandits, but
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
not sure.
Something kind of like what they do with don't they do that in the second one where it's like they've escaped or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. It's a
Isn't
newspaper,
there
I
a
think. I think it's
newscast?
a newspaper. Yeah,
A newspaper? Yeah.
is it a newspaper? I think.
I
I
think
don't
you're
know.
right. Yeah. I think so. But there's something to hint that
Yeah.
they're back.
Yeah.
But I agree, there
Yeah.
should be, there could have been something else. But yeah, I for me, there could have been, an added something, but there doesn't feel, at least for me, and I know you've said you have something for the end, but there doesn't feel like there's anything that wastes time for me. I feel like it's all very compact, and the movie's 1 hour and 45 with credits, I want to say, like 1 hour and 40 maybe.
Yeah, 44. Yeah, 40. Yeah, I think it's an
Yeah.
hour. And, yeah.
IMDb says 1 hour and 43 minutes. And they may suck at synopsises, but or s sim summaries, synop s synopses, synopses. I think that's probably the right. Anyway, but they do a pretty good job with runtime, at least in my opinion. So let's get into the characters. How many What did you think of the characters that we got? And there's quite a few,
There's
but
quite a few.
the main Kevin, Harry, Mom, Dad, Marv, Marley.
Well, I'm gonna
If you want to talk
mention
about the
one
Poke King.
near the beginning. I thought there was a funny part near the beginning.
Okay.
This re is in regards to Uncle Frank. The uptight uncle. So there's a part near the beginning that they're trying to rush out of the house, and Frank doesn't like think they'll make it to the airplane and like the plane. And since they're like 45 minutes, like 45 minutes out, like 45 minutes until the train, not train, plane departs, and Mr. McAllister like wants him to be positive while Frank is like being realistic. And I thought that was hilarious because like it's literally, if I was in that situation, I would be totally Uncle Frank. Like I would be the one realistic, and so I don't know, but that was a different time though, so they had different
It's true. Yeah. Yeah.
guidelines back
Well,
then, so
yeah, it's funny to see him just
unlike
running
today,
through the airport where
so
it's like, actually, you would not be doing that in today's world with all the
yeah,
all the security
definitely.
checks and everything.
Speaking about that, speaking about the airport, I don't want to get off too off topic, but I had a behind the scenes fact for
Yeah.
that, so
Go
I could
ahead.
start
Get it
there.
to it.
So the airport scenes were particularly nail biting for the director. Columbus said, "We had to move fast. We only had two or three takes of the entire family running down the terminal," Chris told the Chicago Magazine. So I just think that those like a airport, I guess that airport, like cl that a I don't know, glimpse we get like is very, it's a classic shot, I guess, those class the a few classic shots, and
Yeah.
I do like those, so
Nice.
yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
But anyways, on to the characters. Yeah. Do you have one you want to start with, or?
No, like you go ahead and I'll
Okay,
chime
okay.
in when
Okay.
I have something to add.
Okay. Well, I right now I'm not gonna talk about Kevin right now because I feel
Dang.
like,
Wesley says, no, I was
okay,
talking about Uncle
we can
Frank. I'll talk about everyone else, but not the main character. We
Oh
all know who
yeah.
Wesley's favorite character is going to be at the end of the show. Be like, Uncle Frank
I
for
don't
the
know. I
win.
don't know. Uncle Frank, yeah, Uncle Frank, Uncle Frank. Underrated character.
I think he's properly rated right at
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
the bottom.
Look what you did, you little freak.
Okay, that's something. These characters are unnecessarily mean to
Yeah, it's so
Kevin.
crazy.
I mean, I
The
understand
family
that
dynamic here is kind of crazy.
it's a horrible family dynamic, but I understand that they needed Kevin to hate his family, but like, oh my goodness, it's brutal.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, let's start with Harry here. Harry.
Okay, yep.
So Joe Pesci as Harry. I think he's a comedian, I'm not mistaken.
Yes, and
I
I
think
believe
he.
he started out as a comedian,
Yeah,
but
that's what I
he's
heard.
definitely he's done a lot more. Like he was in
Yeah, he was in a lot of things, I think.
Goodfellas, The
Yeah.
Irishman, My Cousin Vinny, like a lot of. Yeah.
Yeah. But man, Harry. He's a pretty funny dude. Of course, he's the one ordering Marv around. He's the leader of the group, I guess. The group, the tandem, I guess. Not group. It's only two
Yeah.
guys. But he's like the less optimistic one, two, I guess. He's not like, he still gives orders, but he's not like positive, of course, unlike Marv sometimes. but he is pessimistic as well, so But I he's he was I'm trying to think of, oh yeah, that one line that just saw this one line in my notes of here, a the line at the beginning as he's the police officer, he says, "All kids, no parents, probably a fancy orphanage." I was like, that is hilarious. But yeah, and just of course the classic, like at the end too, with when they're getting demolished by Kevin, his hair like lights on fire. That's always a classic like shot, you know. That's so funny. But I think he did a pretty good job at portraying this character. And I actually had a behind the scenes fact, I forgot. Yeah, so
Go ahead.
Joe Pesci even did his best not to interact with Macaulay when the cameras weren't rolling. The actor went quite method in his approach to the character of Harry, as he avoided Macaulay on set so that the child star would be afraid of him. He told people, "He intentionally limited my interactions with him to preserve the dynamic between the characters." Joe explained he did not want it to come across on the screen that we were in any way friendly. I wanted to maintain the integrity of the adversarial relationship, he added. So, you know, so he kept it pretty method. So
Interesting.
respect that for an actor, you know.
That's
I
awesome.
know, of course, it's not a serious movie, but you know, still like kid actor and bad guy, I guess. So, you know. And you get the sense like right away with like him being like the bat. We like kind of get that sense like right away when we first seen him in the van with timing off the, like you said, timing off the lights and all that. And they're like, "Oh, wait, oh, what are these guys? Who are these guys? Like, what are they doing? Like, you know, are they gonna rob, you know, or what are they doing?" So kind of get that right away. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, what about well, let's talk about Kevin now, shall we?
Sure.
I think Macaulay Culkin as a what, a 10, 11-year-old?
Crazy how he's
And
only like, yeah.
being on this on the screen for literally probably 140 of the hour and 45 minutes, like he's on so much and he does such a great job. And yeah, how old would he have been? He would have been
He's
10.
so like, he's, I think he fit the part because, like, of course, he's like old enough to comprehend, like, of course, like, if he had to like memorize lines and all that. Of course, there's a lot of cuts, you know, there's a lot of like different shots and all that, so they could like cut everything together. But, like, he's also like, I don't know, I don't want to say this in a bad way, but he's also kind of short, so kind of not fits the part. I don't want to say that, but I'm like, you know, like I don't
Yeah,
know.
absolutely. The fact that this child actor could play this kid and make it believable is awesome and a testament to the acting skill of Macaulay Culkin. And I think anyone else, I don't know who they would have even gotten. And obviously, this was his first major role. But I think he does an awesome job.
Agreed. And like, I don't really know. I haven't watched a lot of his career after that, of course. But, you know, he's just good. And then from there on, I guess we could go to we could talk about, well, we could talk about Marv, but I wanted to mention the parents here for a second. Peter, I don't, Peter's okay. Like, he's the dad. He's the dad. But I feel like there should have been a little bit more involvement with him. But you know, he was the fatherly like figure, so you know, he had to stay with the family. You know, family means everything. not those movies.
Oh no.
But
That's those are movies we'll never do on the podcast. No.
Oh, you're gonna make somebody really mad, actually. Somebody I know.
You know what?
Oh.
I don't
Oh,
know who this
that's
person is, but I don't care.
that they were the
I'm
one that
just...
sent the they were the one that sent the email though, so you know.
Okay.
So
I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but I don't care if we ever do those movies. I don't want to.
I don't want to see them anytime soon, but I want eventually want to see them, but I'm not right now. Anyways, we're not talking about those
Not
movies.
anytime soon.
We're talking about Home Alone right now, and we're talking about Peter McAllister.
Yes, we are.
but yes, Peter, Kevin's father. I don't know. I feel like who played him? Who played him? John Hurd.
John Hurt.
I've seen him before in something, I feel like, but I feel like he had, I don't know, like he was kind of like flat, I guess, his character. Of course, he's the dad. He's supposed to be the dad, but like he's there's not much to him, I guess, you know. He's of course he's not gonna be your favorite character. He's not gonna be the least, he's not gonna be the worst character of the movie, but I feel like he was kind of flat, but I don't
I
know.
agree.
And the mom is kind of iconic already, so you know, the mom is just iconic because of her scream, I guess. For some reason. But she is. But yeah, what if it was like, oh, that would have been interesting. What if it was like, that would have been, I just had a thought, like, what if it was the dad in the second one that had to go after him? That would have been cool. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it would
That would
have.
have been cool. That would have been a cool concept. I bet they tossed that around. I bet in the writer's room, you know, the
They
writer,
should
whoever wrote the
have
second one,
done that.
you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the mom is just iconic. I am going after Kevin, going on an adventure, as Bilbo Baggins would say, and that's another movie for another time. But
and she does a great job. I really like the mom,
yes.
Catherine O'Hara. I think she does a really good job. She's much, much more 3D than, like you were saying, the dad is
Emotion.
very.
She has the emotion.
Yes.
So even like
Yes.
the one part with the convincing the old lady, you know, to get tickets, she was kind of like, please, you know,
Yeah.
can I
Another
have your
great
ticket,
scene.
you know? Yeah.
She's got a whole
Like,
box of the dangly ones.
yeah, the dangly ones. Come on, old man. Come on. It's Christmas time. Be sympathetic.
Stay in Paris for a couple more days.
Come, yeah. Why are you leaving? But come on, man.
You don't have any family to get back anywhere.
Eat
All your
some
friends are
more
probably
pe
dead.
eat some more pizza or pasta.
Yeah,
Come on.
yeah. What the heck, man?
Yeah, come on.
No need to fly back.
But Paris back then, I bet it was kind of expensive. Probably. I
Probably.
don't know. But yeah, so those are the parents. And then
Yes.
I want to, I f we forgot to, of course, we have to mention Marv,
Yes, we
kind
do.
of the oblivious one. But arguably, oh, man, he has some good one-liners here. Man, there was a few near the end. There was a
That's
few at
right.
the end that
I like the one where he goes, "Kids are afraid of the dark." And then Marv goes, or
yeah.
Harry goes, "So are you, Marv?"
Yeah. This is a dark one. But a when they go up to the window with the zip line, he's like Harry's like, where did he go?
Yeah.
And he said, maybe he committed suicide. Maybe he committed
Maybe
suicide.
he committed
Marv said
suicide.
that.
And
Oh
I
my
loved how
gosh.
Harry just
Yeah,
doesn't even
he doesn't care at all.
like
Like,
talk about it. Like he's just like, eh. He doesn't even respond to it. He's just
yeah.
whatever. Whatever.
But
Yeah.
yeah, literally so good. And then him, of course, like, even like, of course, with him. Like it's the physical comedy too, like with like him trying going down the stairs trying to get up, and then the one shot after he got in the room, when he goes back outside, the one shot, it's like a low angle shot, he goes outside and then he falls over again. Like, you know, he shuts the door and falls over again. It's just
Yep.
hilarious.
And
But
just whoop
yeah.
when he slips on the ice.
Oh wait. Oh, here's the line. The one line right after right after the confrontation in the movie that Kevin plays the first time he goes up to the house, Marv does, during the daytime, and Marv hears the sounds and he's like, "What is happening in there?" You know, and he goes to the, he goes back to the car and he's like, "I don't know who's in there, but somebody just got blown away." So,
Snakes. I know I recognize
snakes.
that name.
I
Snakes.
know snakes. Like, that's literally me whenever I'm like talking about like a movie actor. Like, I've heard of that name.
I
I've
know
said
that
that name.
name.
I know that name. Snakes.
Yep.
But yes, that's Marv. But yeah, those are the well, we gotta mention Gus too. We gotta round it out here
The
with the
polka
starring
king of the
cast.
Midwest.
Yeah, the Polka King.
Polka, polka.
I he's famous in where is it? Sheboygan. Oh,
Yeah.
Sheboygan.
We're very big at Sheboygan.
Sheboygan.
Yeah. John Candy, the
Yeah.
late John Candy.
Yes, the late John Candy. I had man, I could have said some behind the scenes facts earlier about the Marv at least. But anyways, I have a behind the scenes fact about John Candy here. So John Candy, who was a huge comedy, not comedia, comedy. What am I saying tonight? What am I?
Comedia.
Comedia, comedia. That could be a brand or something.
Like we said, guys, we're a bit rusty.
Man, I should not write in my notes app. I do it in my notes app. I should do it on like Google Docs or something. Ah, man. Oh my gosh. So small. I can't see anymore, guys. Sorry.
Wesley's legally blind.
yep. So John Candy, who was a huge comedy personality in the US when Home Alone came out, made a brief appearance as Gus Polinski, but reportedly only received just $414 for a day's work of shooting. Director Chris Columbus said there was certainly a little resentment on John's part about the amount he was paid. He told Insider it was a deal between him and John Hughes at the time. I never met John Candy before he came on the movie. I don't know if John ever got any kind of compensation from Fox. He was the only actor Hughes allowed to go off script, though, according to Columbus. All his dialogue was improvised. So, you know,
Oh.
yeah, that was pretty interesting to hear about. It
Well,
also, you know, you go.
he has some great lines too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, if anybody's seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, you kind of get some resemblance to that movie to this movie.
What I wasn't John Hughes the writer of that one too, or the
I
director? It
think
was.
maybe. I don't. I feel like. Yeah, I feel
I
like.
feel like John Hughes.
Did that movie come
Yeah,
out?
John Hughes was the
Yeah.
writer and director. Came out 3 years before this
Yeah,
one
before.
in
Yeah,
87.
before.
Steve Martin and
Interesting.
John Candy.
That's interesting.
Which I have not
You
seen
have not
now.
seen? Oh, there's a classic scene in that.
No. He's also in Uncle Buck, which was a John Hughes
Yeah,
film.
in which Macaulay was in. So, like I mentioned earlier. So,
Oh, was he in that one too?
yeah.
The Great Outdoors
But,
too. Also had John Candy. That John Hughes wrote this one.
yeah.
So
So,
John Hughes
yeah,
and
he was in a
John
lot.
Candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. Of course, we wish we had more of him, but like, you know, he played his part. He had to come in and save the day at the airport, you know, with for the
Yep,
flight attendant
yep.
guy. So,
Gave him a ride.
but he
Gave
kind
her,
of
well, the
his
mom a ride.
part, the part he played though, like with his scene, like, you know, when they cut back to Right before she got home, with the scene where like he's talking about his band and all that, you know, and then even though it's a kind of funny story, not really, but like leaving his kid at like a bar or something, you know, kind of like,
At the
you know,
morgue, at the morgue with the corpse. That is a line that me and my mom and dad will quote. When he got over it with counseling or therapy or something like that.
Another thing I didn't notice, this is off topic, but Mrs. McAllister was in Scranton. What? That's crazy. For didn't I didn't of course I didn't watch The Office until like this year, but like, you know, I never noticed that. Of course. But you know, and
Come on.
it kind of looked like that airport in Scranton too. It kind of did. It kind of
Yeah.
did.
I mean, to be honest, they probably, well, I doubt
I
they
don't
went to Scranton to film
they
that,
yeah yeah
but
yeah
I'm sure they tried to make it a little bit. I would hope. Maybe I'm wrong.
but still funny how it was in Scranton. So another
Yeah.
office reference, right? Not office reference, but you know, Scranton.
Office call to the
yes
office.
yes
But yeah. All right. So what about the production and the music and all that jazz, all the production side of it? Wesley, I know you said you had some stuff to say about
Yeah.
the camera work.
Yeah, I really loved, at least I noticed a lot of stuff near the beginning of the movie. I liked like the sh those shots when like Kevin is walking around after his a after he, like when he wakes up the first time without his family. I liked those shots around the house, especially like in the kitchen area. When it looks like you're in the shelf, the camera is, you're watching, you're like in the shelf, and he's just sitting at the table, not table, but the counter. And those moving shots from like side to side, there's a lot of those in this movie. There's a lot, where it's like it's like your eye line. If it's like when Kevin is like looking, I don't know, side to side, if they're trying to portray it like that. But those were pretty interesting too. I kind of caught a lot of those in the film. And then yeah, the music, you know, I don't know. It was great. And like the overarching theme, it comes in like I just love how the theme sticks. The course, it doesn't go away, you know, it never goes away.
John Williams is very good at that, and that's one thing. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to say it. That's one thing he does great. He does a lot of things great. He's John Williams, and who am I to, disrespect John Williams? But that is something he'll do in most of his movies. He has that one theme, and they always draw back to it. Like for Star Wars, at least Attack of the Clones, it's the Across the Stars, the love theme, the da, na, 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 na. And then for this one, it's the da, na, 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 na. And when I don't remember when it is, I think it's when Kevin is like runs outside to look at the garage to see if they took the cars to the airport, and it's like a very upbeat, like a dun, 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 brah, or something like that. That's one that's always stuck out to me the most, like where, that theme is put in a different tone and a different tempo to really
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
change, but it's the same
One,
vibe.
yeah, one instance that really caught my eye, well, always catches my eye when watching this movie, basically doesn't really change anything. But he's walking down the street after he meets with Sketch Santa, after that. He's walking down the street and then he goes past the house with a bunch of family. I always love that moment there. Just always gets you in those like Christmas vibes and like hits you in the feels, you know. So
Well, because
love
he
that moment.
because he's seeing that family all together having dinner, and he's like, I'm all alone. It kind of sucks. And
And then that's right before we go into the church too if we want to talk
Yep.
about that
Yeah.
again,
So,
you know. So
well, let's talk about that when we get to our favorite scenes, because that will come up whether or not that's our favorite scene or not, but it'll come up for
I
sure
will. Yeah, yeah,
as
yeah.
an honorable mention. But yeah, that is, unless there's something else about the production you want to talk about, Wesley, that will be our main discussion on the movie. And we'll back up, not back up, move on into our final thoughts on the movie with our favorites and least favorites. If you follow the podcast, this is the culminating moment after we've talked about the movie to give our favorites, characters, scenes, quotes, and our least favorite characters and scenes. We don't do least favorite quote because that's rude. Like, why would we do that? I don't, doesn't make
Did
sense.
we,
So,
hey, should we like switch it up this time and do like characters first before scenes?
sure, let's do it. All right, Wesley,
So
your
that way.
least favorite character.
Oh yeah. Oh wait. Well, that was a joke. Man, I didn't actually like I wrote like just one down. I wrote like, what did I say? Oh wait, this could actually be it, you know? This could be actually one, you know? So
Okay.
I said the police officer who goes on to check on Kevin. So,
Oh,
you
tell them
know,
to
I don't.
count their kids again.
Yeah, count their kids. Yeah,
What
yeah. Like, come on, man. How would you go in the house? How would you go? I don't. That's the front door. How would you check the back door? You know, there's like
Yeah.
three doors in the house, you know? Come on, man.
There's, yeah. And like the
Dude.
lights are on.
And the kid might be scared, like Kevin was, bruh.
Seriously. Yeah. You
You
know,
are a police officer, man. Come on.
I honestly, I'll give that to you, and I might agree with you because I really don't know who it would be, except maybe Tommy, the little the scamp of the stock boy at the grocery
Oh,
store,
Jimmy,
who
Jimmy?
Jimmy,
I think
yeah,
it's
Jimmy, not
Jimmy,
Johnny.
Jimmy.
Sorry. Yeah, Jimmy, you're right. Jimmy, stop that boy. Like, Jimmy, how about you do
Yeah,
your job
he
instead of
looked
calling the
like he
cops
was from
chasing him?
like
Like,
he looked like he was from like the 60s or 50s. He had like slick
exactly,
back
yeah.
hair, like I like
Yeah,
different
like,
time.
dude, you
Like
belong in Greece, not
what?
Chicago in 1990.
Crazy. Yeah. Insane. I don't know. That was
Oh.
actually, yeah, if you think about it, who did the styling for him? Man,
Honestly, fire
I'm
that
sorry
person
for
right
him.
now. I mean, I'm sure
Yeah.
they're probably not working right now anymore, but
Good actor, you know. He did his part. He did his part,
stop that boy.
but he
Or no,
didn't.
what was it?
He got the
Stop
cop
that
to do
dude.
it. He did get the cop to do it,
He
though.
didn't do his
Yeah,
job.
yeah,
Exactly.
yeah. He didn't go.
Jimmy's my least favorite character right
And
now.
if he went on after, I bet he would have caught up to Kevin
Yeah. I
because,
mean,
like,
I'm sure he could run
if
faster
it
than
was
that
both of
cop.
them, yeah.
Cop had one too
So,
many donuts that morning, let me tell you.
yeah. Oh yeah. He was eating the donut.
No,
Yeah.
that was a different cop. That was
Oh wait. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
the honorable
Oh,
mention of
it
my
was
favorite character, Sergeant Balzac. The
that's his name?
that's
What?
that I believe so, played by Larry, yeah, Balzac, Baldak, Balzac.
That is hilarious.
Larry Hankin.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. He's
Well,
still acting
hey,
too.
at least we got some good characters out of this.
Yeah. You know what? You know what? Honestly, Sergeant Balzac could make the t-shirt. Underrated character. I'm just saying.
Is
I
he?
love.
He's the one who takes the call from the lady.
Yeah,
The
and has the
so
donut.
yeah, has the donut.
Yeah, he's I love that.
Yeah, he would be an underrated character. I of course he gets you on your edges, but you know
Yeah,
he's eating the
yeah,
donut. You know
yeah.
he
He's
has a
I mean,
donut. So
all he cares about is eating the donut and helping kids who are in a
yeah,
bad household. That's what he
yes,
does.
yeah, yep.
Yeah. All right. So least favorite character, Jimmy, and the police officer who checks the house,
Yes.
doesn't really check the
Yes.
house. Both don't really do their jobs. You know, get them out of there, fire them. But favorite character
Yeah,
now.
favorite character, man. This was hard. For me, it was either a decision between Marv or Marley, the M's.
Okay.
So,
Okay.
yeah, I know. This is kind of like, kind of don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But
Unexpected.
I literally have that in my notes, Marv or Marley. I don't have a decision yet. So I feel like as I'm saying this right now, I would probably have to go with Marley.
Yep.
I would
Good
probably have
choice.
to go
Good
with
choice.
Marley.
Good
So,
choice. Good choice. Yeah.
I won't talk about him yet because we'll probably talk him in the favorite scene. So,
Yes, we will probably.
just a great character, He comes in throughout periodically throughout the film. And we get these perceptions of him at the beginning of the film, and then he comes in and he's like kind of a freaky character, but we don't actually know him. He doesn't even speak at all until like near the end of the film, back half of the film, and then we hear his story and all that, and it's just all great. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Provides that heart.
Yeah, he really does. For me, and this may seem like a cop out because it's the easy answer, I'm gonna say Kevin. I think Macaulay Culkin does, we talked about a little bit, a great job with the character he's given. He's very he's funny at times, but he drives the movie. Just that shower, not the shower scene, that sounds horrible. But when he's out of the shower and he's doing his hair, singing White Christmas, and then he does the aftershave and does a little tap on the face
That
and
was
goes,
an accident. That was an accident
ah,
to
really?
do that. Yeah, or something like that. Something in the filming. It was like an accident for him to like leave his hands there, to like,
Oh, yeah.
So.
That's funny. But like you think of Home Alone and you think that face that Macaulay Culkin makes and like obviously main character, main actor, main protagonist, but it's not a movie without Kevin, and I think Kevin is one of the best characters in the film. So that's my answer.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, now I'm curious, Wesley, you said you have a favorite or least favorite scene, so I'm gonna let you go. I don't have
Okay, so
one.
we're doing least favorite scene.
Yeah,
So,
least favorite scene. Yeah.
if we're being nitpicky here, if we're being nitpicky here,
And that's the point of
then
this category. Be nitpicky. Be as pick all the nits you want.
yes, then I would probably say we would have to cut. I would say A to cut the glimpse we saw of the whole family in France, where the dad is calling to find his son and all that, and he's getting angry and all that. And then Buzz and his sister, I think, I don't know which sister, they have a convo. Of course, the cut after that is right when like the pizza driver, I think, shows up. So, that's a funny cut, of course, but like I don't think it was needed. Of
Yeah.
course. But it's like the only thing good about it is like Buzz is like justifying if like okay yeah it'll serve him good like if he's home alone and all that
One, B, A, I'm not that lucky. Two, we have smoke
but
detectors. And B,
yeah
and D. Anyway,
so that
yeah.
could be like that would be like I don't know the only positive part of that the scene because like he's I don't know. Even though it's not, he's like saying it in a mean way, but yeah, I would probably say that glimpse because like
You know,
that's after
yeah.
she already, the mom already leaves. The mom already
Yeah.
left, so to go to the States and stuff. So
Yeah, that's valid.
yeah.
100%, I understand. And I like I said, I don't have one. But that's understandable. And I thought that would be where you were going. I thought I was like, what is he talking about? Like I was trying to think and I was like, that could be it. And I was right. No, toot my own horn. But all right. Favorite scene.
Yes. So, how about you go first? Or will
Okay,
we have the same
and
scene?
I
Will we
think we
have
might have
both?
the same scene, but I'm gonna say honorable mention. I had an honorable mention that I wanted to say, and now I can't think of it. Well, obviously, the trap scene,
Yeah, we haven't even,
obviously,
we didn't even
always a
talk
good
about
scene.
that.
We
We
didn't really
didn't even
talk about
talk.
that.
Yeah,
No,
we didn't
we the most iconic scene in the movie. So let's talk about it for a moment. We're gonna take a moment back, but the trap scene, is awesome. I have memories of watching it with my little, my whole family. And my little siblings, probably 10, 8, and 5, and they're just laying on the floor and they are cracking up laughing. And little kids' laughs are contagious. So you just start laughing, and it's an awesome scene. The paint cans are flying, the ornaments are breaking, the ice is tripping up the bad guys, and it's just awesome scene. So yeah, the honorable mention of that,
Yeah, definitely. Of course, like all the different toys he uses, and then also like the stuff like he uses like paint cans, the feathers and all that, fire, just insane, just crazy, all that he uses. So.
And the worst one, like the one that always gets the like the most like oh like the painful reactions from the people I watch with, is when Marv steps on the nail as he's walking up, and he's just like you see it going, like that shot is really well done, but it's just like that look is just the most painful.
And the tarantula was real too. Just a that was
That
a
they
behind
put
the
on the
scenes fact
face?
that, yep,
Really?
that was real.
Wow. Wow.
So yeah,
I wonder how you train a
crazy.
spider.
Yeah, true.
How do you
I
train the
don't know if you
spider
can.
not to?
I don't know if you
Yeah.
can. I don't know.
That's crazy.
I'm
Oh.
not.
I mean, I'm not scared of spiders, but to have one on my face, like kudos to the guy who played Marv,
Yeah, definitely.
Kudos. I could not.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But
So the scene in this church, like Grace, what was the church name? Grace Episcopal. That's the word. Grace Episcopal Church in Oak
huge.
Park,
It's
Illinois.
a giant.
It's beautiful. But the scene in the church, Wes, we agree, just that conversation that goes on there, that is just like between this guy who's been through his life, right? He's old, and this
Yeah.
little 8-year-old kid, 10-year-old kid, and they're just having a conversation. They're struggling with the same things. It's like family is hard. Like, and it's such like the dialogue is awesome, and just the song that they're singing in the background, the choir is, it's O Holy Night, right?
Yeah, it is. And
Yeah.
it's just insane. Like, I wonder if that was like, if they actually use like audio, like they were actually. The filming, you know? I wonder
Yeah.
if they actually filmed. Like they had like a bunch of extras too. It was crazy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and like of course like him with his like granddaughter, and that's just so like
Yeah.
emotional and all that. And then like seeing like that, even like that wave at the end of the movie, like
When
it's, you know,
Kevin's looking out the window with the snow and the, yeah.
yeah. And him hugging her and stuff.
Yep.
So, you know,
Both of them, yeah, it's so good because they're struggling with this, like his son's mad at him. Kevin doesn't like his family, but they both want to be with their family at Christmas. Like this, the family's not perfect, but they both love their family. And they both get to speak into each other's lives. Like it's like,
yeah.
and as much of wisdom as an 8-year-old could have, he gives it to this old man. It's like,
Yeah.
well, I would like to see my dad at the holidays. Like, I'm sure your son feels the same way. And it's
And
like,
it's like such an important message, especially like around the holiday time when like, you
yeah.
know, families always have like, you know, distaste in one another at times,
Yeah.
you know. So,
Yeah.
you know, we all have those like a related family members that are like, you know, we don't have the best relationships with, so
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So
But as much as you disagree with maybe their stances in life, or they've hurt you, like you still want to see them and you still want to be with them, even though you may disagree on a lot of things. So that scene is just 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. So finally, favorite quotes.
Mine is directly from that scene. I like when Marley said, "You can be too old for a lot of things, but you're never o too old to be afraid." So
Yeah, it's a good one.
that hit the mark
Yeah.
right there.
Yeah. And I was gonna kind of cheat and say that whole scene of dialogue. But it's all good. And but if I had to pick one, it would be the Marley quote where he goes, "Deep down, you always love them, but you can't forget, but you can forget that you love them, and you can hurt them, and they can hurt you." So, it's true. And but also honorable mention to Marv's, maybe he committed suicide.
Yes.
Honorable mention to that.
Oh my gosh. It's like
So
so bad. It's so bad, but it's
it's
like
so bad. It's like, I don't
so
know if you
bad.
could put that in a movie today and get away
Yeah,
with it. You know, like
no, not with like
you
a
trigger a
10-year-old
lot of
kid.
people.
Yeah,
No.
not no.
No.
Oh.
Okay. Let's get back on track with our final thoughts and our
Yes.
star ranking. For those of you who haven't been there before, we give a little, you know, like three sentence. Well, it's been getting longer than three sentences, but a little review of the movie, and then a star ranking. So Wesley, take us away.
Yeah, so of
Take it away.
course, Home Alone just encompasses, like I said at the beginning, childhood imagination, you know? Especially at the end there with all of the booby traps and like just the creative mind of a child and the just the exploration of a child, you know? I feel like it describes a child so well here. And it's also built, this film is also built for all audiences. It's not just for kids because you can look at it that way. A lot of us can. But like we talked about earlier, with a old man Marley, with his family and just all of his issues, and then with Kevin's, you know, it kind of blends well, not well, but you know, together in a this whole a interesting situation. And when they finally meet and a they be honest with one another, and then they help each other, you know? And it's just with in the day we're living with, in the day and age like we're living in, like, you know, there can be so much anger and angst and all that. And like I feel like this movie provides a good message to be more cheerful, you know? I don't know, especially around the holiday times, you know, even though we can be more stressed out about going to a vacation like the McAllisters. But to slow down, like Kevin was doing, eating that mac and cheese, or was trying gonna try to. But
Amen.
you know,
Eat some mac and cheese.
yeah. So, all in all, just a fantastic movie for the time, for this time, and hopefully for all time. So yeah, my star ranking is 5 out of 5. So.
Hey, way to go. Yeah, I co-sign a lot of what you said. I think this movie, like you said, especially today, it just has a great message about family, really, like, you know, and forgiveness. Like, we don't know what
Yeah.
was said between old man Marley and his kid, but like, there's that forgiveness there. You see him hugging. You see him coming over for Christmas. I mean, it's Christmas morning, and his son and daughter and granddaughter are there, or not son and daughter, son and daughter-in-law, but you know, and Kevin forgiving his family, just wanting them back. And I think it's a great message, like you said, encapsulates all audiences. You know, like, got some for the kids, got some for the adults, got something for the hormonal teenager. And all in all, I again, fantastic movie, and I too have it at a 5 out of 5. So there you have it, our rewatch and discussion and ranking of the Christmas classic Home Alone.
Yes.
This is not hopefully going to be our last Christmas episode.
Yeah, hopefully not. Hopefully, if we can fit another one in.
We're gonna try and fit another one in, and you guys get to choose it again, but this time it will be animated Christmas classics.
Yes, yes,
And
yes.
we have the list right here as soon as I can pull it up.
I always like these, man, like after Elf last year, I was like, man, I loved like recording this episode. Like these Christmas episodes are kind of fun to do. It's like, of
Yeah.
course, a different genre, but like, you know, it's a, of course, a classic genre to do. So, you know,
Yeah, I mean,
can't
you
wait
can
to
never go
get where,
wrong.
can't wait to when we're 80 years old reviewing Hallmark movies, you know? So.
Oh, gross. I would never.
No,
No. Oh, my wife
yeah,
keeps
no,
trying
I
to get me
don't.
to get me to watch those movies.
Yeah,
I'll watch
no.
one this year. But
I saw
the
a meme
list.
of like,
Okay,
sorry,
go
no,
ahead.
you got,
No,
no, I
no, no,
mind
go.
up. I saw, I caught like a meme of one of somebody recording a movie, and like, it was like, you're gonna really go away and make like houses for elephants?
I saw that. I
Did you see
saw that. I've seen
that?
that one. Yeah. It's like,
Yeah.
you're gonna, yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
my gosh.
Like, Hallmark is Hallmark. But the four ones we are going to put out there for you guys to watch or to vote on will be The Polar Express. You should vote for The Polar Express, but we
Please,
have three others.
please.
It's Christmas, Charlie Brown, or a Charlie Brown
Classic.
Christmas. I think it's a Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and A Year Without Santa Claus.
Yes.
So those are the four that the animated, two stop motion, and well, is A Year Without Santa Claus stop motion?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Two stop motion, motion capture, and then a regularly animated,
I feel like it's
2D
gonna be
one.
like Charlie Brown or Polar Express, I feel
Yeah, I
like.
feel like
I don't
those
know.
two are gonna. I know the people who I follow on Instagram, and those two are probably gonna be up there. But that's not for us to decide. It's for you to
Yeah,
decide. Well, it's
it's
kind of
for
for
you
us to
guys.
decide because I
Yeah,
vote on
well,
them. I vote on them. Neither here
I
nor there.
vote only on one poll, so you know.
Oh, you vote only on one? Well,
Yeah.
I know. I
Well,
vote
you
for
know.
different ones though. I put them
Yeah,
up.
yeah,
You
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah. Okay,
I
well,
don't
yeah.
just vote for one.
Yeah,
Same
yeah.
one. But I only vote on the Movie Minutemen one and then yours because I can't vote on mine, I don't think. But
Yeah. So.
anyway, so you guys want to follow us on Facebook because you can vote on there, on Instagram because you can vote on there, both at the Movie Minutemen podcast, and then follow Wesley at what's your handle?
W spill under dash 30.
Okay. And follow me at andy.august1, I believe is that
I
one.
need a I don't know if you can change your handle, but I should. I don't think you
You can.
can.
You can.
You can? Okay, yeah, I need to change it.
Yeah.
That is not that is not that one doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, mine is andy.august1, just one, not a one. And you guys can follow us there and vote on those polls. But the best way you do can vote on them is following our Instagram and Facebook at the Movie Minutemen Podcast.
Yes.
And yeah, and vote on both. Vote both on Facebook and Instagram if you want. Like, there's
Yeah.
no rule against that. We won't.
Yeah.
Yeah, the more votes, the better. So yeah, guys, Merry Christmas. That's our episode. Wesley, do you have anything to say before we sign off?
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. You can
Yeah.
also follow us. Sorry. Also follow us on Letterboxd. Me
Yes.
at Andy Rates Movies and Wesley,
At
yours
Drummer
is
Boy, I think. I don't know. No, it's not that. It's not that. It's
question
not that. No, it's not that. Hey,
mark.
I've been watching a lot of interesting movies right now, so I would go over there and see what I've rated recently because I've been
You
watching a lot of interesting movies, so.
have been. It's interesting. I'm seeing
You
some of the
know,
ones you're following, and I'm like, or watching. I'm like, huh, okay.
I'm trying to explore more avenues and like, you
Yeah.
know, like
Yeah.
I always at the beginning of each month, I always write down a list of movies or like show, well, mostly movies to watch, you know, from the month. And like, of course, backtrack, it gets backtracked, backlogged, you know, throughout the year. But, you know, I've been watching some interesting movies and I just watched Air, that came out in February this past year. Well, earlier this year, it was like
Yeah.
about like Nike and all that, getting Jordan on the brand and all that. That was a good movie. That was really
Nice.
good. But
Your handle on Letterboxd is Westman1730.
yes, yeah, I was gonna say, yeah.
Yeah. I looked it up there because you sounded not sure. So
So, yeah.
yeah, so go follow us over there and you can follow along what we're watching. I do not watch as many movies as Wesley, so if you want a good follow, follow Wesley. If you just want to follow both of us, follow me. You can do that too. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We really appreciate it. Merry Christmas from me and Wesley. And until next time, goodbye.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write.
May those days, may your days, may your days be merry and bright. Ooh. And may all your Christmas is